This afternoon, we're looking at the idea of the name of the Lord combined with these different prepositions, and it's used throughout the scriptures. And so I want to look at a little bit of what that means. Particularly, the question was brought up, or the thought was brought up, in the name of Jesus, particularly praying in the name of Jesus. But as I looked at this, doing things in the name of Jesus, praying is this much of in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus is all of this. There's so many things we should be doing in the name of Jesus, and we'll get to it here eventually in Colossians, where he says, do everything in the name of Jesus. But what does that mean? What does that mean? So that's where this came from. This study began as. Let's see here. Okay. So what I'm going to do is the significance of the name of the Lord. Before we get to in the name of Jesus or God or anybody, what's the significance of a name? And that's really key. That's really key, because what is a name? What is a name? A name, if I said Al, or if I said Leroy, or if I said Becky, if I said Nathan, what does that mean? It's a representation. It's a name by which we call somebody. But we use names to represent people, objects, and ideas, right? Yeah. And by the way, names are not man's invention. We didn't come up with that. Actually, God created and designed that names be used even as early as Genesis 1:5, and I have it on the screen here. I don't know if you can read it. We see that God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So God gave names, if you will. The word name is not used in that passage, but he called the light, he called it day, yom, right? And the night, and the darkness he called night. So you have both of those things there. Early as Genesis 1:5. If you go to Genesis 1:26 here, God makes Adam. Let me read it. 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God makes man. And he presupposes the name upon him. He says, let me make man. And by saying he's making man, he gave what man is a name. Adam. It's an Adam. When we're in Ezekiel, where he says, son of man, he uses that same word. Ben Adam, son of Adam, son of a human. That's the general word for just a human. But God gave that word as the name for Adam, for the man. All that to say is, names are not a human invention. They're God's invention. God designed it that way when he designed language. If you're in Exodus 3:14, we looked at a little bit of this on Wednesday night. So this will be a rehash a little bit. But God has a name as well, a name that he has chosen to represent himself to man. And you'll see, this is not the first use of it, but it's more explanatory here in Exodus chapter 3. And Moses asked the question, who will I say sent me unto you? The Lord says in verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So, there he gave, this is who you're going to tell, this is who you're going to say sent you to them. And you see here in the Hebrew, and I'll blow it up here, this is Echya. And this is the word he used, Echya. Right here, I need to tap on this, push that button, there we go. And why don't we do a red? Okay, right here, these three letters, this is the basic idea of that word. And when you add that on there, that just tells you here it's a first person. So I. And it's also an incomplete action. But this basic word here means to exist. And when he puts the Aleph on the front there, it means I am existing. I am existing. So that's why it's translated I am. This is the verb of existence. I am existing. Very interesting. Okay. So he says, I am. I am existing. That's my name. That's what he tells Moses. And but you can see this is used throughout Scripture, but it's not used as a echya. In fact, most of the times it's used differently, and I'll show you. Genesis 2:4 is the first example of it, where you have this. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that, here it is, the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. That word right here, Lord, that's the translation of the name. Back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, so very early on, let's find that root here in the Hebrew text. When you're looking here, there it is right there. Now, like I said before, it's got the same middle here, the same middle, nearly the same middle, and I'll explain that in a minute. It's got a different letter here. It's got a yod on it. And this just means it's third person. He is existing. Not I am existing, but he is existing. And what we would normally expect if this was just the regular verb, it would have, I'm going to run out of space. I'm going to do this differently. So if it was the regular verb, it would look a little bit like this. Where this letter right here is, it's shorter. It's a different letter. But they switched it, which is not, these are not uncommon to switch, this wow and the yod here. But this, doing that, changing it to a wow, it makes it distinctive. So everyone recognizes, oh, this is not just the regular word, he is existing, but this is the name of God. This is his name. But what Exodus chapter 3:14 makes clear, the meaning behind this name is Yahyah. The meaning is he is existing. And it correlates with so many parts of other parts of Scripture. But that's the background behind his name, the name that he has chosen, and it's throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. Here on the side I have the different forms. This is the basic form right here. Haya, and then this would be Yahyah, he is existing. This is Echya, I am existing, what he used with Moses because he was speaking first person. And this is the form we see of his name, which is very, very similar to this. The vowel pointings are different, but that's another story. The only difference would be that letter in the middle, and the reason that's changed is for distinction. And as you see here in the notes, it's unpronounceable, it's made distinct as his name, yet the meaning of his name is he is existing. It is Yahyah. And so that's why I will say Yahyah for his name when speaking literally. Okay, but we're talking about the significance of a name. This is important. So Yahyah is his name. Okay. It's as early as Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, that we see the name of the Lord used. And if you look here at Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, where he says, And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon, here it is, the name of the Lord. Now that's a little strange to me. Why would you call upon the name of the Lord? Why not just call upon the Lord, right? Why call upon the name of the Lord? But he uses that. Other passages, it's throughout Scripture, like Genesis 13:4 says, Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Leviticus 14:16, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord. Why can't you just say he that blasphemeth the Lord? Why the name of the Lord? He shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall surely stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. 1 Samuel 17:45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come unto you, or unto thee, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. It's throughout the Psalms. So here's just Psalm 113:2. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why can't you just bless the Lord? But he says, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Here's another last example. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Why can't the Lord just be a strong tower? Why the name of the Lord? Interesting. Interesting. Well, the name, we use words and names, and we already said they represent. What they do is they represent. And his name represents him. When we use a name for something, we have our own understanding of what that name represents. If I were to describe somebody as a skunk, we have something in our mind. Not good, right? He's not a good person. He's a skunk. If I were to talk about a car, let's talk about a car. I say, car, what picture do you have in your mind? What do you think about? I have a certain representation in my mind of what a car is. And we all do. And they might slightly differ from person to person. But if I were to ask a person living, someone who was living 100 years ago, I asked them, what is a car? Their representation would be different than our modern definition, wouldn't it? It would. They wouldn't think of heated seats and, you know, air conditioning and all this stuff, right? They wouldn't think of all the different things that we have. Maybe the general idea would be the same, but there'd be a difference. All of that to say is the name represents something. And it's interesting, to humans, it can be different from person to person. It can be different. Now, if I were to say the Lord, or if I were to say Yahweh, if I were to use that term, the Lord, his name, I have a certain representation of him in my mind. And at the very same time, you have a representation of the Lord in your mind. And maybe somebody else over here does too, and it's completely different than the representation that I have. But how can that be? How can that be when we're using the same name? How can it be? Does it represent something different? Well, the reason is it's different. It's because mankind, we impose our own criteria of what that name represents, of who he is, okay? But reality is man doesn't have authority to define God or to decide what represents him. But though man misrepresents the Lord, that does not change what his name actually represents. Does this make sense? I know this is deep and far and wide, but hang on, because it's important. We cannot change what his name represents, even though I may, in my own mind, make up my own definition or think of him a certain way. I can't change who the Lord actually is, and therefore I can't change what his name actually represents. Okay. If his name perfectly represents him, then it is a perfect representation of him. And this is why we call upon the name, or we call upon the perfect representation of the Lord. That's why we praise the name, or we praise the representation of who he is, of who the Lord is, because it is who the Lord is. The name represents who he is exactly to a T. If I were to put the Lord here on this scale, and then I'd put his name here, it would balance because it's a representation, an exact representation. It's who he is. His name represents exactly who he is. That's why if someone were to misrepresent the Lord, it was very serious. Someone would discredit his name by lifting it up to vanity or by simply misrepresenting his name. Someone saying, I'm speaking in the name of the Lord, and they're lying. Serious crime, because now they're saying this is what the Lord is, and he's not that. And they're blaspheming the Lord himself when they blaspheme his name. Why? Because they're blaspheming that which represents him. They're blaspheming the criteria, the blessings, the goodness, righteousness. See, his name represents him, and that's what a name is. It's a representation. Does that make sense? And so his name, you can't really separate his name from him. That's why his name is so weighty, if you will. So weighty. And that's why, you know, we're called by his name. Hey, by the way, how can you be saved? You believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, all of that is weighty. I thought I had to believe on Jesus. You believe in his name. That's representing who he is. That's important because you're putting your faith in who he is. Ah, okay. Now, all right. So that's a little bit of the significance of a name. It represents who something is or who they are. Here, I just have here just a little diagram. These are most Greek prepositions. There are a few others, but these are the most common. And these give you different ideas of what these words mean. And we've talked about it. When I say ace, I'm talking about this over here. Into, going from outside of something into it, into Jesus. You could say ek would be out of. So that would be from going from the inside to out. So these all carry these mental pictures here. Epi would be upon something. This is the one I want to look at particularly right here. This one, in, okay, in something. And I like it because it's good visual. You're in, inside of it. Okay, in. The rest of my document here, all it is Scripture. And what I have in here, I have the King James, and then I have below it the Greek text. And what I've done is I've taken all the passages that have in the name. I've excluded, like in the Gospels, they might give the same account, and it might say the same thing, so I've excluded those duplicate accounts. But pretty much, I believe it's the New Testament has all of the examples of where in the name is used. And then also further down, I use the other prepositions, such as epi, the name, or upon the name, or dia, the name. That would be on account of the name or through the name. Ace would be into the name. Pros would be toward the name. So I'm using these Greek prepositions as a basis because in English, they're not always translated the same way, which is interesting. Okay. You can see here, for instance, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 21, he says, "And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. In the representation of who he is shall the Gentiles trust." You can see that even in, let me look at Mark 9, 38, where he says, "And John answering him saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us." We saw one casting out devils in the representation of who he was. So he's saying he's within Jesus, in Jesus, like in that box, like we talked about up here. He's in. If you look at that box, you think about the box as being Jesus. And where whatever the activity or whatever it is, it's within the parameters of Jesus is the idea. It's within him. Okay? It's not outside of him. But in him, what do you mean in him? Well, in who he is. That's the significance of who he is. That's what it's in. In Mark 16, Mark chapter 9, verse 41 talks about, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in the representation of who I am," is the idea, "in my name." Within the parameters of who I am, they give you a cup of water because you belong to Christ. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Mark, and these signs shall follow them that believe, Mark 16, 17, in my name, being in who I am, they will cast out devils, it says, and they shall speak with new tongues. Luke 10:17 gives the same similar example, how the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us." And it says through thy name, but it's the same preposition in the name of you, in who you are, within who you are. John 5:43 is interesting here. He says, "I am come in my Father's name." I'm come within who the Father is, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in who he is, in his own name, him ye will receive. John 10:25 is another example of that. Let's see. I want to get here looking at John 14 and 15 and 16, because this is where it talks about praying or asking in His name. John 14, 13 says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name." You're asking within who He is, okay? You're not asking because of who He is necessarily. It's not asking beside Him. You're not beside Him. It's not proximity in that way. It's because of you're in who He is. Within the bounds of Jesus, you're asking something. Now, is it possible to ask something within the bounds of Jesus? Yes. Within the person, within who He is? Yes. Is there something to ask outside of that? Sure. Of course. John 14, 14 says, "If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." So you're asking within who He is. John 15, He says, "Ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in My name, within who I am, He may give it you." And there are similar things in chapter 16. If you look at John 17, verse 11, Jesus is praying to the Father. He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thy name." And there, that through Thy name, let's see if I can find it. That's the same preposition there. In the name of You, right here. Keep them, He says, through or in who You are. In Your own name, those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are one. If you go, Jesus says that He kept them in Thy name, in who He was, in who God was. John 20, 31, "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in His name." That's the same preposition there as well, in, right there. In His name. And so it's in who He is. You have life because of in who He is. Is that not true? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Yes, of course, of course. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Here it is. "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Within who Jesus is, I'm going to tell you to rise up and walk. Peter had been given that authority within the bounds of Jesus Christ to be able to do that. Jesus said they would be able to do that. So he's within the bounds of Christ saying, "This is rise up and walk." He could do that within Jesus, of course. We went back to the top. So there's some more passages here that we'll get to. But I want you to think about this. To do something in the representation of who He is. This goes back. This is not just an isolated thing where it's just about praying. No, this goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, 28, where He says He created man in His image and in His likeness. That means you and I were created to represent the Lord. We were to represent Him. That's what we're created as, to represent Him. And if we represent Him accurately, we're doing it within who He is, are we not? Within His name. Yes, of course we are. It's there, and it's really throughout Scripture. But we see this phrase, "in Jesus' name." And as we'll see, to pray, for instance, in Jesus' name is not necessarily wrong to put the tag on the end, but you don't have to put the tag to make it in Jesus' name. It's not that. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean what you do is in Jesus' name. There's an example in the Old Testament. You got to beware when a prophet gets up to speak in My name. Watch and see if it happens what he says, because if he doesn't, there's going to be consequences because he's misrepresenting Me. So people can say they're doing things in Jesus' name that doesn't make it in His name. And you don't have to say that you're doing it in His name for it to be in His name. Why? Because it's in who He is. on the basis of who he is, or better said, it's not really on the basis, but in the midst of who he is, within his person, we're doing these things. There's so many other passages we could look at in Ephesians. Well, let's go to Philippians 2:10 says, put at the top, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That at the name, that is that, and then we have here, you have that same preposition, that in the name of Jesus, in the name. It's in the person of who Jesus is, every knee is going to bow because of who he is within that, his person there. Colossians, and this is really the main verse that I wanted to come back to here, and maybe we'll take a few minutes to look at some other verses, but Colossians 3:17, he says it just this general way, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So, he makes it clear. He says, all things here, in the name of Lord Jesus. There you have that preposition. You do it in the name. That means within who he is. Do all things. You know, does that mean you can sweep in the name of the Lord Jesus? Yes. Does that mean you can talk to your kids in the name of the Lord? Yes. Can you brush your teeth in the name of the Lord? Yes. Of course. Of course, within who he is. He's designed our bodies. He knows we have to do certain things. Can you take a shower in the name of the Lord? Yes. If you didn't take a shower and you could take a shower, you might be doing it outside of the name of the Lord Jesus because he's designed our body to need to be cleansed. Or there's so many things. What I'm saying is, it's not a mysterious thing. It's doing it within who he is the idea. Whatever we're doing, we ought to be doing it within the person of the Lord Jesus. And you can't really separate his name from who he is because his name perfectly, accurately represents him. No matter what I think about his name or what the pop culture thinks about his name or what Joe thinks about his name or Sally thinks about his name, because what I think or anyone else thinks does not change who he is and doesn't change what his name actually represents, though it's misrepresented all over the place. And so it's so important that we get it because it could be confusing if we're going to pray, and I want to make sure I'm doing it in Jesus' name, that way I can get what I want when I pray, because that's what he said. It's no different than praying in the will of the Lord, in a sense. I mean, you can't separate any of those things. You can't separate any of them. Here's a different example here. This is epi, different preposition. We had the box. Let's go back to the box. Epi is upon. Epi would be on top of it here. It's upon something. So if you had a foundation, you build upon a foundation. You build upon it. That's the idea with epi. So let me go back. And there are passages with epi as well. The idea is like Matthew 24:5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For many shall come, if you look at the preposition here, it's epi. Many shall come, here it is, upon the name of me. So they're using his name as their foundation. I'm coming in his name. They're saying it's their foundation, but he's saying, no, it's not real, not true. So many things we could look at with epi. The main one, though, is the N, his name. Any questions or thoughts about this? I know it's deep, but I think if we get the significance of the name of the Lord, or just a name in general, how it represents something, and when it comes to the Lord, we can't. People change definitions all the time. Cool used to mean not hot, but if something's cool now, it could be groovy or whatever synonym you want to use. It's great. We change definitions. And, you know, definitions change. But God doesn't change, and what his name represents doesn't change, even though people may try and change that. But when you get a grip of the significance of his name, and that it's a representation of who he is, then that means anything upon his name is based upon who he is. Anything in his name is inside of who he is. Anything toward his name is toward who he is. Anything according to his name or through his name, it's by who he is. All of that. It's about who he is. That's what it is. Who he is. Any questions or thoughts? No? I hope that helps. It helps me to really, I've never really stopped to do a detailed look at it. But when you see it, I think, well, you'll see it. You'll see it. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the time that we can study these things. I hope that each will see the value of it, and that we would live in you, in your name. All the things that we do, we would praise your name because it represents you. We would be careful with your name and how we represent you with calling ourselves a Christian and doing certain acts or calling this good or bad based upon who you are. May we be careful to accurately represent you as you've designed us to be. And we thank you, Lord, and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.